Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hey, I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
Maybe you know us from our daily YouTube show, Good Mythical Morning.
But this is a little trailer for our podcast, Ear Biscuits, where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time.
And nothing is off limits. We talk about our sex lives, our mental health journeys, but we try to never take ourselves too seriously.
So we invite you to not do the same, or to do the same. We invite you to listen. Follow and listen to Ear Biscuits.
Now for free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
A massive study has just been released saying there is no evidence that acetaminophen, think Tylenol, used during pregnancy increases the risk of autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability in children. As this study was looking at millions of kids, and we are visiting with an OBGYN who is joining us from right here in Pittsburgh. Her name is Dr. Grace Ferguson. She is not only with the Allegheny Health Network, but she is a physician at West Penn Hospital. Dr. Ferguson, thank you very much for being with us today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Grace, tell me, when you heard about this research, were you familiar that this was being done, that this was coming, or did you find out about this when the results were published?
You know, this is not my specialty, so I found out about it with everyone else. But when I started to read into the results and the methods of this study, I was thrilled because there's been a lot of chitter chatter about Tylenol and pregnancy, and this is kind of the data we needed.
So when we see acetaminophen, people need to understand this is Tylenol. That's the trade name that it goes by, is Tylenol. But acetaminophen is the compound that we're making up as a pain reliever, correct?
Correct.
So non-aspirin pain reliever. Is that also correct?
Yep.
Okay. So this work looked at 2.4 million children, and they were looking at children who were siblings, some that had been exposed to acetaminophen as they were in utero, and others who were not. Why is it important that siblings were involved in a study like this one, Doctor?
Well, the previous studies that had been giving people alarm had looked similarly at fetuses that had been exposed to acetaminophen in pregnancies and fetuses that have it. But the problem was that the mothers and the environments in which they were taking this Tylenol were so different, or the acetaminophen. So it was really hard to compare. When you ask yourself, well, why does this one mother take so much Tylenol compared to someone else? You know, it could be a lot of like work stress, life stress. What other medical problems do they have going on? So it was really hard to isolate it down to the acetaminophen. This study has the benefit of being the same mother. Of course, it's not the same moment in time because we can't make that study happen. But narrowing it down to the same mother really helps eliminate some of those questions.
Doesn't it also matter greatly that we are talking about the same genetics for baby A and baby B, right? Same mom, same genetics. And so that also eliminates a variable.
Yes, exactly. A huge variable.
Why is it that this has been such a hot topic item. Is it because we're just not exactly sure, or there have been conflicting results before? Why is it that this has been, and maybe it's the term autism or ADHD or things like that that we hear that immediately elevates it in our consciousness. Why do you think it is?
Well, I think that there are actually so many reasons why this fear has really gotten amplified. One, I think all of us in a post-COVID world have some feelings about the medical system and the establishment and what we believe and don't. Acetaminophen is such a commonly recommended medication, and so many, many people have used it before. They've used it in pregnancy, and now they're a little bit scared. The other thing is actually that the data that many of these fears have been coming from on the outside look like really good data. They're countrywide, they involve tens of thousands of people, and often when you think of so many people in a study, you think, oh, that's a really good, vigorous study, I should believe it. So multiple little elements, I think, all came into play to make this a pretty big, scary thing for patients.
I'm curious to get your response to this. Renee Gardner, who is one of the principal researchers in Sweden that did this work, said this study's findings may be welcome news for birthing people who use acetaminophen as a pain or fever management option, since there are few safe alternatives for relief available. That's got to be a big part of this, doesn't it? There just are not a lot of options if you've got pain and you're pregnant that are safe.
That's exactly it. We really, it is hard to be a birthing person. We restrict you in a lot of different ways. Everybody loves their Motrin ibuprofen for aches and pains when you're not pregnant, but we do not let you take that because it is known to be bad for the fetus. So acetaminophen was really our go-to, and it still remains our go-to, but this fear and chitter-chatter in the background, I think, really made it hard for patients to accept that advice.
Dr. Grace Ferguson joining us, an OBGYN here in Pittsburgh. She is at West Penn Hospital, part of the Allegheny Health Network. Dr. Ferguson, why is it important that Tylenol be part, whereas aspirin is not? Is that like some of the other things that are out there that can potentially, what, cause bleeding? Is that the fear of staying with a non-aspirin pain reliever?
You know, that's funny that you ask. So aspirin is, it is safe in pregnancy. We do worry about taking higher doses of aspirin and a risk of bleeding. And, you know, when you're at the beginning of pregnancy, you worry about miscarriage. When you're at the end of pregnancy, you worry about delivery. So there are lots of moments in pregnancy where we're a little wary of bleeding. But the funny thing about aspirin is that we actually recommend aspirin to many, many patients. If not, sometimes we recommend it to all of our patients in the form of a baby aspirin, because we have good data in the in the laboratory, in population studies, that aspirin can prevent preeclampsia and other disorders of pregnancy that are really dangerous to moms and their babies.
And so when we say baby aspirin, we're not talking about the fact that someone is pregnant and they're going to have a baby, but it has to do with the dosage,
correct,
right? The size, the amount, a number of milligrams?
Exactly. We're talking about an 81-milligram aspirin. It's a little one.
Right.
A baby, so they say.
Right. So give us a sense in terms of, now that this information is out there, what next? I mean, is there going to be a follow-up on this? Are there going to be other people who are going to try to replicate this data? Or now that it's out there, does this sort of become the latest, and this is where the medical community moves on from?
You know, I think the medical community never stopped recommending acetaminophen as the first go-to for pain relief in pregnancy. And so I don't know. I feel like the Scandinavian countries that produce this data, they really were almost redeeming themselves. But from the American obstetric standpoint, I think we are going to continue doing what we've been recommending this whole time, and really make no changes. You know, acetaminophen is still our first line. We are happy that this data exists to support it, because we've been skeptical of the previous data that questioned it. So we're kind of business as usual.
So I don't mean to put words in your mouth before we go, but it almost sounds like you're saying this is maybe more for the moms than it is for the medical community. It's more for those that may have concerns, whereas the medical community in the United States has not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're totally right.
All right, very good. Dr. Ferguson, thank you very, very much for being with us today and helping us to understand this latest finding having to do with acetaminophen use during pregnancy posing no risk of autism, ADHD, et cetera, in children. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Dr. Grace Ferguson, MD, joining us on KDKA talking about no link between Tylenol and autism during pregnancy.
Hey, I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
Maybe you know us from our daily YouTube show, Good Mythical Morning.
But this is a little trailer for our podcast, Ear Biscuits, where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time.
And nothing is off limits. We talk about our sex lives, our mental health journeys, but we try to never take ourselves too seriously.
So we invite you to not do the same, or to do the same. We invite you to listen. Follow and listen to Ear Biscuits.
Now for free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.